When we hold on to grievance and pain from the past, we keep ourselves from being able to really move into our fullest expression of self. We need to practice forgiveness from the soul recovery perspective, dissipating the energy and releasing the past for good. If you're interested in this profound transformation, I invite you to join me in Colorado the weekend of June 8th and 9th to have an incredible experience with others on this same soul recovery journey. 2 full days of immersion in the soul recovery process where you will indeed leave transformed. You will be able to truly let go of these old pains and step into a new way of being. Check out the show notes for a coupon code and how to register. If soul recovery is around how to be in relationship with ourselves and the complicated nature of having relationships with others, then this is a great episode because this is a conversation with my oldest son, who's now 27, Alex, who came into town for a concert. Part of soul recovery is learning how to let people be exactly who they are, how to accept and love them for exactly who they are. And I'm sober. And my kids aren't. And we had a lot of dysfunction in growing up that we're all healing from. And in this powerful conversation, Alex is willing to share vulnerably and openly about some of those experiences of being raised in an alcoholic home, where he's at in terms of his use of drugs and alcohol, and also how is he healing? How is he taking responsibility for himself and his happiness? And how has he related to our sometimes tough love? And it's a beautiful conversation with some tears and some laughter and some real raw energy around what it is to be human. Enjoy. Welcome to the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life from my recovery of alcoholism, codependency, and control addiction. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we need to turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on our inner change and healing. Positive results in our lives will follow. Welcome to Recover Your Soul. I'm Rev Rachel, and I am sitting here in my little studio with my son Alex and his girlfriend Lexi. They're in town for a concert at Red Rocks for 420, which is incredibly appropriate. So, hi, Alex and Lexi.
Hey, hi. How's it going?
I want to thank Alex for coming in and talking to us in this podcast because I know many of you also have adult sons or children. I happen to have adult sons, have adult kids who are in your life and you're working on how to let them be exactly who they are. So I wanted to take this opportunity just to chat with Alex about where he's at now and maybe some of the ways that we've been interacting now in our healthier space and some of the choices that were made earlier and how he feels about them. So thank you for being willing to do that.
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys came into town for.
Well, Lexi's friend got a Christmas gift for tickets to the 420 on the Rocks at Red Rocks and told us that we should join along. So we got tickets and got it all sorted out and made it a family visit / concert.
So if anybody has never heard of the concept of 420, what is that?
It's weed day.
Weed day. I think 420 was the police code.
I've heard that too. I'm not sure if it's true or not.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the folklore, is that that was the police code. And so then it was, I've got a 420. So 420 is anything pot related.
Yeah. And so April 20th is basically National Weed Day.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So being that you were here for 420 and you just smoked a big joint right before we came in here. Where are you in your usage? How do you think that's working in your life right now?
I mean, it's taking a back seat at this point. I mean, I don't really overdo it. I don't, you know, focus on it too much. I'd say I use it a little bit every day, but most of the time it's at night it works slow because I just draw all day. So mm-hmm. It kind of helps with my creativity. But it's not nearly as much as it used to be.
And in terms of some of the other drugs that you were using at points in your life that were harder on your life, where are they at?
I don't know. I party sometimes, but it's, you know, very few and in between. It's mostly if I go to like a crazy concert, like, you know, dubstep or electric music or something like that. Eat some mushrooms or, you know,
do something
here and there. But most of the time I just drink on the weekends occasionally. I don't really drink that much these days. And we'll smoke a little bit at night together. And like I said, a little during the day for creativity if I need it, but that's about it.
So if I'm your mom and I'm sober and I look at your life, you know, to be honest, when I look at your life, I'm not scared for you at all. I mean, that's my truth, is I'm not concerned that that you're overindulging too much. I mostly, as a mom, feel like I wished that I had made other choices, because if I had gotten sober earlier, I would have been a better mom to you. So sometimes that's really where I come from. But when I look at your life, I think it's important for me to have clarity around what it is for you instead of what it is for me. So when I look at you, what I hear you saying is it's just part of your daily life, but it doesn't feel like you're over consuming or it's taking up too much of your time or energy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I mean, I live in California, so they say Cali sober is when you smoke weed and are sober on everything else. That's what they'll call it, Cali sober. And there's a lot of quote unquote Cali sober people in California. So weed is just super regular.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Nobody really seems as an overindulgent. I mean, it definitely can be. I don't really dab anymore or do any of like the concentrated anymore. We just kind of smoke a little bit of flower, have like a little pen that we hit here and there, but that's really it.
And I love that you're in this relationship with Lexi, who is such a sweetheart, and you guys are such a wonderful couple, because I feel like it's given you the impetus to want to be a better self for her. Do you think that's true?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
She's been a light in my life and helped motivate me to do better than I was currently doing. Yeah, I want it for myself, but, you know, there's that push. I want to be able to support her and take care of her and, you know, be healthy and happy and emotionally and financially stable.
We talked about this before, that there's some real truth about the frontal cortex kicking in. When would you say that you're 27 now? When would you say that there was like a shift in your brain to really take responsibility for your own life?
I mean, I've always kind of like felt responsibility, but I was always just like set the bar low. And it was like, okay. I was talking to someone about this the other day, that I feel like I played down my intelligence a lot because I didn't feel like doing it. Like I didn't want to take the extra effort and I was lazy. So I just wanted the easy route. So I downplayed my intelligence and do as good as I could have and kind of set the bar low. And it just, that's something that I just kind of regret, you know?
Yeah. So now that you've had that frontal cortex kick in and you have this higher desire for yourself, what does that look like?
Just like I said, just be financially stable, happy, healthy. Money is a big part of life these days. And I just want to build a home base for myself, basically. Mm-hmm. And just see where the future takes it with me and Lexi. But currently I'm doing graphic design and I'm trying to build my own brand, and I'm starting to get some traction and some people, and I'm doing a bunch of custom designs for people and a bunch of art on the side. So I'm just kind of just striving for my art right now.
Yeah, you're an amazing artist.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so fun. I've said this before, but we joke that when you were in school, you weren't paying attention to the teacher. You were drawing drawings, and I actually have some of his little drawings up on the wall here at the studio that he did when he was a kid. And now you get to do those full time. And that's a testament to how life will work out for you when you have a passion and creativity.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So, yeah. I mean, with what you were saying, I would say around when I was 25, about or like 26-ish, was when I just started seeing everything different. And I went from like, I was always just kind of a wing it and live in the moment kind of person. And, you know, overspend or do things or make choices I shouldn't, because I was like, I just want to be happy now. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if the world ended tomorrow, I want to be happy right now. But now I just kind of see things differently. And I want to, like, build a good future for myself. And I definitely see things a little differently. It's like putting on a pair of glasses almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk about that all the time, that you, it is as you choose to see it. So it's this opportunity to switch.
And it also is, I mean, it's almost harder sometimes. Like, there's just also a lot of things that come with growing up and being an adult, and life just gets busy and stressful, and it's a lot sometimes. So it's just about balancing that with just choosing happiness and being grateful for what you have.
If you're ready for soul recovery, as a spiritual coach, I can support your healing to help make real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. You can also work in smaller groups by taking a deep dive in a Zoom workshop or with me in person at a retreat or an event. Join others on the soul recovery path once a month for the free Zoom support group or daily on the private Facebook page. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions with me or find all the information you need about soul recovery, dates that are coming up, and how to register for those groups and workshops. To support the podcast and the community, check the links in the show notes to make a small monthly donation or a one-time donation of your choice that will make a huge impact to support this community and the soul recovery mission. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. I love that you said that, because one of the things that is real is that you've struggled with mental health issues for your whole life, which you potentially came in with the brain that you got. Mm-hmm. And you have found a way to do the pivot. Can you tell people what the pivot is?
I mean, for me, the pivot is like just kind of noticing when you're feeling your emotions like too much and you're getting like, you know, overwhelmed or depressed or sad, or and just kind of putting on, it's not a mask, but you just kind of like choose in yourself to just like be happy, or just try to choose. It's kind of, it's like pivoting, you just pivot.
So when you first started to pivot, what we talked about is that it was almost like really faking it till you felt it.
Yeah.
But now, from what you've told me, is the pivot has become more natural, where you just have that awareness. It's like, wow, I can really go down this whole path that feels really yucky and watch it spiral, or I can stop it right here and make a different choice.
That's it. It's either you spiral or you make a pivot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the two ends of it, of the spectrum, at least for me. I have BPD and depression, anxiety, so I struggle sometimes, but it's like, it's literally the two ends of the spectrum. I can either spiral and it just doesn't really do anything for me, or I can choose to pivot. And half the time, I mean, like you said, at first, you just fake it till you make it at first. And then you just get more emotionally aware, self-aware, and it's kind of easier to just maneuver around those overwhelming emotions, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if we talk about some stuff from the past around detachment and enabling and things like that? Do you mind if we hit some of those topics?
Sure.
Not really giving him much of a choice. I wanted to talk about some of those things just because, in terms of people who have been listening to the podcast for a long time and are dealing with their own kids, that sometimes that concept of letting you fall down on your own as a parent is one of the most difficult choices to make. How has it been for you over the years to have parents who have not saved you? What has that been like?
I mean, at first it sucked. At first it was awful and I was pissed about it. And I had all my friends who were just like, I don't know. It was hard at first. And seeing people around me who their parents would do everything for them, or driving all these nice cars, just had everything, you know. At first it was hard and I didn't like it. But then, you know, as you grow up and as they get older and become an adult and get a different sense of things, I'm actually grateful for it, because it's helped me become who I am, independent and able to stand on my own 2 feet and take care of myself. So I'm grateful for you, to you guys, for doing that. And you've always supported me. You've always been there, but it's kind of like a tough love thing.
Thank you. Thank you for feeling that I've always supported you, because I've always wanted to. That's been my goal. Where does that line cross for you as the person who wants the help? and can see both sides of yourself, both the unhealthy part and the part that is really growing into your true healthy state, how do we continue to do this thing together where you feel supported and I still hold lines around, you know, how much money I give you or what you can expect from me? What do you feel on both ends of that?
Like I say, it's like 25, 26 when things change. Like, I just see things differently. And so nowadays I don't try to just take money from you guys. Like, I try to get you paid back if I ever need to borrow money. At this point, as I rarely ever try to hit you up for money. For the most part, I, you know, take care of myself. But when I do need a little bit of help, you've always been there for me. But, you know, when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, just, you know, give me, give me, give me. But we're all out here just trying to survive and thrive. So I, you know, I don't ever want to take and not, you know, give back. And I always try to give whenever I can and just, you know, be generous, because you always get love like that in return. I believe big on things like that. I don't know. It's just we've had a balance. We have a respect for each other, and we've all just grown from all this, these difficulties we've had. And like, that's like one of the main things in life that they say is you learn from your mistakes. So that's why I think what's got us to where we are now is just learning from all the weirdness.
I've had so many people who are so appreciative of your allowing me to speak so candidly about our relationship, and that you continue to come and participate on the podcast as well, and Bodhi and Rich. And it really means so much that our family is healing and getting better and gives other people hope for the same.
Mm-hmm. Don't cry. It's okay. I love you. I love you, Mama.
Myself together to ask my next question.
Good discussion so far.
So what does it feel like for you to come home?
I mean, just being around family. I have no family out in California. I mean, I do now. I consider Lexi my family, but not having Bodhi out there with me anymore and not seeing him, like, I have no family. So there's just that feeling of just being home and around family. It's just indescribable. And home will never feel the same. You know, I don't have a room anymore and the house has all changed. And so it's no longer like my house. It's my parents' house. It's how it feels to me. Mm-hmm. But home's where you make it. Home's wherever Lexi is. But to come home to you guys is, like I said, it's just a feeling. Just being around family will always be home as well. Home is where family is, I should say.
Yeah. And do you feel like at one point, I remember you had said that it was hard to be in this area because there were so many difficult memories. How is the past for you? Are you able to release the pain from the past in a healthier way, or is there still some stigma and pain around that?
No, I think I've grown and matured enough emotionally to be able to, you know, nothing really bothers me anymore. I'm able to heal from it. I mean, there's still, you know, there's always going to be tough emotions that come with things that have happened in the past. But for the most part, I'm at peace with everything.
Mm-hmm. And you and your dad have had a pretty tumultuous relationship on and off over the years.
I would say so.
Yeah. And I was always trying to battle and be in the middle and people please and jump around it. Does it still feel that way?
No, not really. I feel like you said on that trip to Halama, when I told you that I'm okay, kind of things changed for the better.
And how has it been for you to have your own relationship with your dad? I'm not driving it.
I mean, we don't really have one. I mean, we do, but like, we don't really talk as much as we should. I really wish we chatted more, but I'm very busy. He's very busy, and I shouldn't. What that came out wrong. We do have a relationship, but we just don't talk enough. Weeks or months will pass between like phone talk conversations. We communicate through him sending me things on Instagram, like memes and stuff.
Which he sends all this stuff to me as well about
being healthy and
right
investing money and stuff like that. So it's showing he cares. I mean, we don't like really catch up or talk because most of our connection we built through work. Mm-hmm. Creating stuff together. Mm-hmm. So our lifestyles are a little different. So it's harder to be like, hey, this movie, this show, or like random stuff like that. And
does that feel painful to you, or are you accepting of it as it is?
Both. I'm accepting of it as it is, but the only painful thing is I just feel like I'm going to regret later in life not talking to him more. Because I keep seeing shit like that, and I see all these videos where it's like, talk to your family more, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. Like, we're all getting older. Like, I'm going to be 28 this year, and that just trips me out. So, and we're all just growing like weeds out here.
Smoking weed, growing like weeds.
I definitely do want to, you know, keep in touch more with you guys, but I think me and Dad's relationship is pretty solid.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's been more of a level of respect. I didn't give him a lot of the reason that we had such a hard time, like my side at least of it, was me not giving him Dad the respect he deserved as a father. Because I was just one of those, it's like, you can't tell me what the hell to do kind of kids. And it's just, it's probably hard for him to deal with. Nowadays, I have respect for him. I feel like he has respect for me, and we love each other, and I think everything's pretty solid.
When we were watching some of the old videos last night, and you always say that you both love to see them and they make you sad. Can you tell me about that?
You make me cry. Yeah, I don't know. Just seeing how good Dad was as a dad to us, and then all the shit that we went through, just like brings up a lot of emotions in me. Sometimes it's just hard to think about. He was a really good dad.
We always cry as a family.
I was just a tough kid. Like you said, I was just born with what I was born with in my brain. And just go out for us to figure it out and balance it out. So
I think when I watch those videos, what I hope that we all remember is really the foundation of love that's always been there.
It's raining in here. That's where I go.
And also like innocence, you know, when I watch movies of you guys and I think about even myself as a kid, that there's so much innocence and that life is complicated. And my hope in this podcast and in this soul recovery community is just the reminder that, you know, it's complicated and that we can either attach to the pain and have that become our story, or whether we can see the things that we've been through and we become heroes. And through that, we can make it through anything. And my biggest regret is that you guys were raised in an alcoholic home.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really realize it until I was older, all this stuff about alcoholism and all the stuff that you guys talk about regretting, like, as a kid, I just never didn't know, you know?
Yeah, because we don't know.
Didn't make no difference to me.
Right, it's like what you know. So if you don't know, you don't know. What do you see in your future if you are looking at a crystal ball of the law of attraction and manifesting and pulling the life of your dreams? What does that look like for you?
I don't know, just making art, selling art, living in a good house, trucks and dirt bikes, a couple dogs, Lexi. That's what I'm striving for right now.
And you like it in California?
Yeah. I want to try to get more south, like towards LA for a time. And then Lexi loves Colorado. So we're kind of, you know, chit-chatting about maybe having Colorado be on
the list.
Life adventure list at some point, getting back here. And who knows what the future holds, but that's what I would like to manifest for myself.
Well, I appreciate your coming in and being willing to share even difficult things and share your heart. And you're a big piece of these stories that I tell. And I just want you to know how proud of you I am. And I appreciate you being my son.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. And Lexi, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Being part of the journey of life. And thanks for sharing your story.
I swear my eyes were just sweating.
Eyes sweat a lot.
I wasn't crying.
You weren't crying? No. Every time Dad's on the podcast, he totally breaks down and cries too. So that's how that goes.
It's emotional stuff.
It's because our family loves each other so much.
Very much so.
Yeah. Oh, I know one thing. We were on the phone the other day and you were talking about how our family talked about emotions and you're able to understand your emotions in a healthy way, and you realize like the rest of the world didn't talk about emotions.
Well, I mean, some people didn't grow up like that. So we were taught to, like, you know, go to your room and do that on your own time thing. And some people were like, grew up like us, where it's like, what's wrong? Why are you sad? What's, like, figure it out. And so that's why I was able to grow up and be able to be emotionally aware you know, talk about what's wrong and what's hurting me and be able to communicate it pretty well. And then there's people who didn't grow up that way. So they just don't, their brains don't think like that. And it's harder for them. It's, you know, you come across that in everyday relationships or with your significant other, whatever it is. And it's all about just communicating and growing.
Sharing feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I loved that when you said that on the phone that day. You said, I don't know if you realize what a good job you did on that. So I was just taking that in and saying, thank you. I'm appreciative that you
recognize that. That's true. I owe everything to you. Me and Morty always talk about how we owe who we are to you. Oh, you're an amazing person.
I think you're an amazing person too.
Thanks, Mom.
All right. Until next time, namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Recover Your Soul podcast. And if you loved what you heard here, every Friday we have a bonus episode. And you can access this by becoming a subscriber through Apple Podcasts for only $3.99 a month, or become a Patreon member. And on this platform, you can choose $5, $15, or $25 a month to show what you want to support the show with. On both of these subscriber platforms is an entire catalog of back episodes intended to inspire and support you on your soul recovery journey. I really want to invite everybody to attend the free once a month, every first Monday of the month support group. This is on Zoom. Everyone is welcome to attend. And by giving a like or a review, and sharing this with your friends and family really helps us to share the soul recovery message with even more people. We are on social media. We are on all the platforms. I am on TikTok. You can listen to guided meditations by Rev. Rachel Harrison on Insight Timer. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being part of the community. To find out more about soul recovery and everything that's being offered, visit the website www.recoveryoursoul.net. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.